In 2008, the flooding of the Iowa River destroyed, among other things, the music building housing the University of Iowa's music department. Anything could have happened, but fortunately what did happen is that the university has rebuilt, and the new music building looks like an improvement in basically every possible way. Well, it is reopened this week, and this coming weekend will be the very first concert. Here to tell us about it is the man who organized it, Tony Arnone. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Barney. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you. Did you get our picture?
I got the picture. I will post it on our website and Facebook page later. But, Tony, you're there with, I see in the picture Sasha Margolis. Sasha, hi.
Hi there.
And anybody else there with you?
Yes, hi.
I guess you must have taken the picture.
I did.
I'm a photographer.
Well, thanks so much for coming in, all three of you. And I thought I'd begin by just talking a little about the building. Tony, I think you fully appreciate what a significant thing this is.
Oh, it's been amazing. And actually, if I can quote my friend sitting across from me, Liz DeMio, who said yesterday, this is the most beautiful music building she's ever seen in the country.
Wow.
Which means a lot because she's seen a lot of music buildings. And I mean, we are just overjoyed. I think the music department is giddy all the time right now, just walking in every day. You know, we've walked by the building in construction for several years, and it was sort of like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when you got your golden ticket and you finally get to enter that building. It was really incredible to be inside, and they did a fantastic job with everything. We couldn't be happier to be in there.
Well, I haven't been in there yet, but just two obvious things about it. First is the location is so convenient for everybody in Iowa. It's right downtown at the corner of Clinton and Burlington Street.
Right.
You don't have to go way out to the outskirts of town. You can basically walk there from anywhere in town. That's tremendous.
Yes.
And what a beautiful building. It's the conception really works out in real life.
Oh, it's beautiful. There is so much open space and just a feeling of community. A lot of places to just sit and gather. There's a patio on the third floor. You can go outside and sit and enjoy your lunch or something. And then there's places throughout the building where it's just inviting you to sit down and enjoy the views. And there are great pieces of artwork up. There's a Chihuly art in the library. There are many others. The halls look beautiful. It's just a pleasure to be inside.
And I should mention, by the way, that the plan is that the University of Iowa Art Museum is going to be constructed next to it. Yeah, that's the long-term plan, right?
Right, right.
Meanwhile, at the same time that you have all that light in there, you also have acoustic separation from the outside. It's a perfect combination.
It is. And we cannot hear a thing in the next room, which is wonderful. But if you're walking down the hallway, you can hear gently music coming out of all these rooms. So it really creates the feeling of, you know, there's music happening here. But when you're actually working in one of the studios, it's very soundproof and it's wonderful.
In the intervening years after the flood, what happened was the music department was kind of scattered around campus. So hard to develop a sense of camaraderie and working together. Is that
definitely? You know, I was going to also mention that just the feeling of community is back. I mean, there are people that I saw maybe once a month at best, and now I'm seeing them several times a day. And it's you can see down to floors below, and it's just I'm enjoying waving to everyone and just riding the elevator up with people that I really haven't seen for several years, except for just rare moments.
I should mention also that from the outside it looks smaller, but in fact I'm told that the main stage completely replicates the footprint of the stage at the Old Hancher.
Yes.
Get a big ensemble in there, which is going to happen later this month. Bill LaRue-Jones is going to come in and tell us about the Mahler Second. But this Sunday at 3 o'clock at this beautiful new building, you and Sasha and Liz and a number of other musicians are playing three truly great works of music. Maybe you could start telling us about that.
Sure. And I just want to start by saying it's really, really exciting to get to play the very first notes in this building. I mean, it really is the very first concert in this brand new building. So, you know, it's something that I'm going to look back on the rest of my life and hopefully the other performers and the audience to just say we were there. We remember the very first piece played in this beautiful building. And so we're actually opening with a Haydn String Quartet, Opus 20, number 4. Beautiful, warm, just welcoming kind of work, I think. And then the Ravel Piano Trio that is just one of the sort of ultimate piano trios and great, beautiful work of art. And then intermission, and then you can't go wrong with Brahms chamber music. So we are playing one of his later works, the Brahms Clarinet Quintet.
Which has got to be one, a high point for every musician to get a chance to play that.
Definitely.
So that's going to involve Greg Radden, who is the principal clarinetist of the Dallas Symphony. He's not there in the studio with you today, but he's a major clarinetist. That's tremendous.
He is, and Greg and I went to school together at New England Conservatory many years ago and played the Brahms Clarinet Trio together. So he came out about 3 years ago, and we did that again, and that was just too much fun. I said, Greg, you have to come back and do the quintet, and so he is back.
Well, that's it's a great concert. What's the admission price, by the way, Tony?
It is free.
Wow.
Yep. Completely free. And just to clarify, there are two halls in the new music building. There is a 200-seat hall that we will be playing in that is beautiful with lots of windows on one side and just really lovely structure and sound. And then there's a 700-seat hall that they're still working on putting in a beautiful organ that is taking some extra time to set up. So there will be a first concert in that hall in October.
Oh,
but,
okay.
So there will be 200 seats on Sunday. I'm hoping to fill them all up.
I see. Okay, I'm glad you clarified that for me. Thank you.
Sure.
And, well, you're going to begin with that Haydn string quartet and then on to the Ravel. And among the people in the Haydn quartet is Sasha Margolis. Sasha, I wanted to say hello to you.
Hi. Thanks so much for having us on.
And one thing that I am planning to do as a result of this interview is that you published a whodunit. The book is called The Cimbalist. Wow. It looks fascinating.
Well, I hope it's fascinating. People seem to be enjoying reading it. It just came out a few months ago, and it's available everywhere.
Okay. Well, this is a state where people read books, as you probably know. So this is on my list now.
And great. Wonderful.
You're a violinist. Where do you live, Sasha?
I live in New York.
Oh, yeah.
New York City.
Great, great. Well, it's wonderful to have you out here. And Liz DeMeo, if I may call you Liz.
Yes, please.
I love your description of yourself as a collaborative pianist.
Yes, nobody uses that A word anymore.
I won't even say it.
But it just means that I love to play with, I get sort of bored with just being alone, and it's much more fun to play with partners.
Hmm. So, and the piano is such a big part of so much great music.
Oh, for sure. And this Ravel trio is just one of the highlights of chamber music repertoire for everybody, but especially for pianists. The piano part's kind of monstrous, but also kind of wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy to be here with Tony and with the wonderful violinist Katie Wolf. The three of us are going to play it for everybody on Sunday, and it's just a dream group for me. The quality of playing of these two and the personality and all of the musical ideas are just, you know, we're all kind of on the same page. So,
you know, you're reminding me of Gerald Moore, famous pianist,
yes,
who wrote a book called The Unashamed Accompanist. I just want to get the A word in there.
That's such a great, great book. And he had wonderful, Gerald Moore had a wonderful series of, I don't know if they were radio programs, but the recordings are available. You can find them on YouTube, where he talks about his doing this and gives these examples, and it's just so sparkly and charming, and you know, it's really worth looking for.
Yes, and I think he really opened people's eyes to
definitely
how much, a collaborative pianist, that's a much better term.
Sure.
So, well, we are going to go out with a bit of the Ravel. I have to just personally, when I was young and foolish, I thought of Ravel as this, you know, guy who's a really good craftsman, but, you know, not deep. Now I think of him as really deep, mm-hmm, as well as a really great craftsman.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I can't think of a better example than this trio.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. It's very deep. I played it a few times, but each time I look at it, there's another layer of ideas that I never even noticed before. It's just fantastic.
Oh, magnificent. Well, you're at the Cleveland Institute of Music, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
How do you know Tony?
Well, Tony came to Cleveland about 10 years ago when one of the teachers there was sort of in transition beginning to work at another school, and so he was sort of in and out, and he needed a person for that particular day to cover his students. And I was working in that studio, and we didn't know each other, so I spent the day playing for the students who were playing for him. And we just had a few brief conversations that day, but we knew instantly that we would get along and play together. And Tony claims that on that trip, I invited him over. I sort of have a vague memory of this, that we played through all of the Beethovens, right, Tony?
Yeah, Liz has the spirit of you know, let's just play this piece, let's do this piece. So we stayed up late and we read through all five Beethoven sonatas.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah, and we usually do that every time we get together, you know. Yeah. It's like, what are we going to read this time? Yeah. And, you know, it's fun. We like to explore stuff. Mm-hmm.
So. Well, it makes me all the more eager to hear this concert. So let me just tell everybody once again, it's 3 o'clock this Sunday at the new Voxman Music Building at the corner of Burlington and Clinton in downtown Iowa City. Tony tells us there are just 200 seats in this particular hall, so don't be late. Yes. But you don't have to bring your wallet, because it's free, and it's a chance to hear great musicians playing great music. Thank you, all three of you, for coming in to tell us about this.
Thank you for having
us. Our pleasure.
Yeah.
And Barney, I just have to say, as wonderful as the music is, playing with old friends is the icing on the cake, you know, and Sasha and I, we were just talking we've known each other close to 30 years, and I've gone...
Since we were in kindergarten.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, so we are going to be having a blast. We hope the audience likes it, but we will just be having so much fun on stage playing together. It's the best thing.